All right, episode 12 of Whiskey Throttle Radio. Thank you all for listening. We got a great show. The Sandman, Garrett Emerson, joins the show to talk about his week at the Loretta Lynn's Amateur National. He raced plus 25 and plus 30. So he joins the show, talks all about it. After that, Dave Drakes from the Collective Experience comes on and talk about his VIP experience and how you can sign up to hang out with the race teams of the privateers and some other good guys on the circuit. And Dave's a really cool dude, so he's got some great stuff going on, great conversation. After that, Jeff Green, the CEO of Blood Lubricants, comes on and talk about his new, or not new, but his oil company. They're getting on the scene now. They sponsor guys like Henry Miller and Tyler Bowers. So we pick his brain a little bit and learn all about his company. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. Check out our Patreon account. Thank you guys for the support. Before we get into our interviews, I want to talk to you guys about Blood Lubricants. Blood is a manufacturer of advanced technology synthetic lubricants for the racing industry. They sponsor guys like Henry Miller and Tyler Bowers, who just got a top 10 at Washougal last weekend. So make sure to check them out at bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D, lubricants.com, and buyblood.com. It's B-U-Y-B-L-U-D.com. They're helping support the show. And we're going to help you guys out, or they're going to help you out, not so much me, but use the promo code WHISKEY for 25% off all Blood Lubricants products. That's right, 25% off with the promo code WHISKEY. All right, showtime. Right now, the Sandman, Garrett Emerson. What's up, Garrett?
Not much. Just got off work, hanging out at the house.
Yeah, working hard?
Oh, yeah. Today I did.
So I wanted to get someone on the show that went to Loretta's, and I saw you out there on your Suzuki tearing it up in the 30-plus class and 25-plus class. Take me through your week in Tennessee. How'd it go?
It was pretty good. I would like a little bit better result in both classes. It is what it is. I did switch to a Suzuki probably 2 weeks before Loretta's. I made some changes to it prior, and I got it feeling pretty good. And then when I got there, I was second practice, and track was, you know, pretty sloppy then, but it was still pretty good and wide open, so no roughness. And then I rode a little bit later, and the track actually wasn't that bad. It was pretty good, so the bike handled well, and then went into the motos. First moto, actually, I was second moto on Tuesday of the day at 8 o'clock in the morning. Got a terrible start and come around 18th on the first lap and managed to finish 6th by the end of the moto, and then raced again later that day in 25. Had an okay start, and just not being on the bike in a while and racing. I mean, I had only raced two times prior. I shouldn't say two times. I raced, you know, a total of four times prior of Loretta's. And I just wasn't willing to risk it. Like, some of those guys were on the first lap in 25, so I kind of just let them settle it in on the first couple laps, and then I would just start picking them off after that and just get as high as I could. I think I finished 15th in the first moto of that. So those two motos were pretty good as far as track went. And then, you know, my second moto's come around and the track was totally different. It was way rougher and my bike just handled totally different. I was able to get another 6 in my 30 for my second moto of that. And then 25, it was just, you know, I had some issues and just survived. And then I made some changes after that. I actually put a Pro-Circuit link on the linkage for my bike, and it made a world of difference. You know, it just helped me settle in some turns and whatnot. I was having a hard time in some high speed chop, and the results don't show it in the 25, but you know, it made the bike handle better. I was just out there kind of riding at that point for my third moto, and then my third moto of 30. I got off to a pretty decent start. I would say probably, you know, right around 10th or so, and just let it unfold from there. All the good guys started up front that moto, and it was kind of do what you can do, and I managed to make my way into fourth by around the halfway point, and that's where I stayed till the finish.
Yeah, you mentioned the track being super gnarly in the second motos. I even noticed that, even just from like watching it on the grainy computer. Like the first couple of days didn't seem too bad, but then midweek, man, it was beat to shit.
Yeah, you know, the second moto of 30 wasn't that bad. It was pretty decent because it was, you know, mid morning. I want to say it was, actually, no, my second moto was in the afternoon, 2 o'clock or something. It wasn't that bad, and then I can't remember the times, but yes, definitely my second moto of 25 was like, whoa, if my third moto of 30 is anywhere like this, I don't know what I'm going to do with the bike. But, you know, like I said, I got the bike figured out for that. And, you know, I would have been prepared if it was like that for our third motos, but it seemed like our third motos were way better. But yes, definitely the track was just, I think they were having a hard time figuring out what to do with the track as far as watering it and stuff like that, because they were expecting rain, and this rain never came, and we got really lucky on the weather, and you know, the temperature was right all week. And Monday we had just a little sprinkle that lasted for like 10 seconds, and that was it.
I gotcha. So for those of you who don't know, you're a longtime GNCC guy. You pretty much Mr. FCR down here in Florida. What are you, 10-time champion? Do you feel like your off-road, you know, background kind of helps you out in that really rough and gnarly long motos?
Yes, it does. I mean, I'm not going to say no. It definitely helps me, you know, because of riding that and being able to adapt to it faster than the other guys. But those top guys out there with me that are still moto guys, you know, that they're really good and they can pick up those lines as well. But what separates us really is the moto guys are able to just go all out and sprint on the first couple laps, to where it's taken me like 3-4 laps of the race, and you know, we're doing 9-10 laps, and it's taken me, you know, 3 laps to just get warmed up. And then when I finally get warmed up, I'll just start clicking them off and I'll start matching the leaders' times. They just get me in the first part of the race, and the off-road side of it just hurts me there, because you know, I want to be Mr. Consistent. But on the long run, when those guys start dropping towards the middle of the race, my off-road experience from staying consistent pays off.
Yeah, I was talking to Jack Chambers about it. He went up there and raced super mini class, and he said pretty much the same thing. Like, it helps him with the rough stuff, but also that first couple lap intensity is just not there for him, because he's used to, you know, in the woods, it's, you know, just totally different.
Yeah, it is. It's just, you know, it's not that we can't do it. It's, you know, from growing up riding off-road, I don't want to say it takes me out of my comfort zone. It's just something that I just don't want to do. I don't want to take that risk. I'm not scared to go that fast. I would rather be play it cool, so I'm there at the end instead of just throw it away or somebody else throw it away. Like on my first or my second moto at 25, you know, the guys, like I said, them guys were just going wild. I actually had a guy just come out of nowhere and just T-bone me. Luckily I didn't go down because I was already moving forward, but he turned his wheel right before he hit me, and he hit me and just went over the bars. It's like, man, what are you doing?
Yeah, bunch of gooners out there at Loretta's, you know?
Not everybody, but it was like, man, what? You know, I was already turning. It was just a weird situation, yeah. But, you know, the off-road stuff, it does help, and the rough stuff. You know, I don't mind it being rough, and definitely being from Florida, I didn't mind having a mid-afternoon moto because I'm already used to the heat and, you know, I was just prepared for it.
Yeah, I just got done mountain biking out at Hope Sound, and I am not used to the heat because I about passed out. I need to get on the Garrett Emerson training program.
Hey, come on. I've only been training for a little bit. I normally start at the area event for Loretta's and, you know, make it to the regional, get that next step. And as soon as that Monday, you know, that next Monday there, that following Monday after the area, I start training. And, you know, obviously get to the regional. And if I make it from the regional on, then I continue my training program and continue it all the way on to Loretta's. And then from there, I figure out if I want to keep training, if I want to race anymore throughout the year, or just kind of relax and wait until Loretta's comes back around. But if you want to train during the time that I do train, you're more than welcome.
I moved, Garrett. I'm in Jupiter now, so I'll have to come up. I'm only like an hour away.
You've been to the Dyer Park? You need to go to Dyer Park in the Hill.
I haven't. I just went to Jonathan Dickinson. That's it.
Yeah, Jonathan Dickinson's pretty good. It's Jonathan Dickinson's good because there's a lot of trails out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have a lot of options, where Dyer Park's more just one big hill, which is pretty cool. You know, it's tough. And they also have a perimeter lap that's, you know, a couple miles too, but that's all you get on, you know, Jonathan Dickinson. You know, there's a lot of different options out there.
Yeah, I kind of only really like going down the hills. I don't really like going back up them, though. So that might be a problem.
Hey, then you're not going to like my training program.
you mentioned you switched over to Suzuki. You've been on Cowies pretty much your whole life, it seems like, ever since I've known you. So why the switch?
17 years. I haven't been on a Cowie. I don't know. I kind of had been wanting to switch the last year or so, just didn't know what I wanted to ride. I've rode other bikes, you know, over the last couple of years. You know, I haven't owned anything, but my buddies ride different bikes, so I'd hop on and do a lap or so at the moto track. I've rode Suzuki's over the years because Elliot Cook, always, he's been a Suzuki guy, so I'll hop on his every now and then. But I rode Suzuki's before I rode Kawasaki's when I was a kid. I rode Junior A 2 years on a Suzuki, or actually it might have been 1 year, and then I did like 2 years in A200 on a Suzuki. So I've rode them before. I got a good deal on it, and I wanted to ride it. My bike broke like 2 weeks before Loretta's, and it was kind of my best option was just to get another bike, so that's what I did.
And how is that new Suzuki 450? Because it was all new for this year. I heard it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Like I said, I've rode other ones, so you know, I could compare it to the other years. And I also did the 24 hour this year, and I rode their 2018 RMX 450, which looks like, you know, their older generation 450. They changed the chassis a little bit on it, made it more like the Chief of the F chassis, a little bit more nimble, which is a pretty good bike. You know, we got on and did the 24 hour, we won on it. The chassis handled pretty well. As far as the MX bike goes, it's a pretty good bike. They didn't really mellow the motor. They just changed the power curve and the mapping and stuff a little bit, so it doesn't hit as abrupt. The power curve is, you know, a little bit more rideable for, you know, an average rider. You know, their older models, they were just a really hard hit bike, which there was nothing wrong with that. They just made it a little bit more smoother now. The bike feels a little bit slimmer. It turns really well. Suzuki's have always turned really, really good. You know, they're a good turning bike. I like a long bike because I'm tall.
Okay.
So I kind of feel at home on the Suzuki because it, you know, I can make it feel long. I haven't rode a Honda, so I can't tell you what, you know, what that cockpit feels like in the chassis and stuff. You know, I rode a Yamaha a couple of years ago. I did at the GNCC, which, you know, I needed a little bit more time on that bike. It just was what it was. But, you know, I like a big cockpit area because I'm big. Like I my torso is longer than my legs, so I have to be stretched out over it.
I gotcha. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. You know, I have to ask, did you kind of just get burnt out with the wood stuff? Because it seems like the past couple of years you've been all motocross and we haven't really seen you out in trails lately.
Yeah, I mean, it's all I did my whole life. I kind of got burnt out on everything, honestly. You know, I'll be 33 this year in November. You know, I've been racing and riding since I was 3 years old. You know, I'm going on 30 years of it. I kind of got burned out. There was nothing left to prove, really. I mean, I had proved what I wanted to prove to whoever I wanted to prove it to, and to myself, that, you know, what I set out to do, I could do it. When I was younger, just getting into the AA class, you know, Mike Phillips and Kenny Keelan, they each had 5 AA championships, and, you know, that was huge at the time. Those two guys were, you know, they did it over 10 years each, so to get their 5, because they battled each other the whole time. And I told myself that, you know, I was going to get five regardless. I wanted to get five and I was going to beat it. Actually, I was going to do six and I wanted to get them all in a row, every single one of them. And I can't, I have to go back because it's been so long, but I know I did five in a row. And like you said earlier, yes, I do have 10. And, you know, once I got to that point, I was like, well, let me get 10. Because I don't, you know, I always want to set the bar high. If I can keep doing it, why not? And like, I just did it. And obviously I raced the GNCCs there for a couple of seasons. And just doing it at that level and the commitment that I put into it, you know, most people didn't see it. You know, I'd known you for a long time, so you've gotten to see a lot more than other people have, you know, behind the scenes type deal. You know, I had to live, eat, and breathe it and sleep in it. And I just wanted a different life. I wanted to, you know, I just got burned out on it, and I wanted to just go get a normal job and work and just be normal for a while and not ride and then have the opportunity to miss it. And I've always wanted to do Loretta's ever since I was a kid. And I did do Loretta's when I was a kid. But now I'm in the vet class, and, you know, I never earned a trophy when I was younger. But I've earned a trophy in the vet class, and that's what makes me keep going back to Loretta's is because I have fun chasing that dream that I always had when I was a kid, and that was to win a championship there. So that's what keeps me going there. And that's why I keep doing that, and that's kind of why I stepped away from the woods.
I gotcha. You know, I always thought it was because I was, you know, I was working my way up through the A classes, and, you know, there was a time when I was, you know, getting really good, and you were scared that I was going to come beat you in the double A class.
There was a couple rounds that I was nervous. You know, you were there until the last lap, but I was able to pull it off. But yeah, that last year there, you didn't have me nervous. I think that was like 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when we raced Evo A together, you had to knock me down and land on me, you know, just to make sure I didn't beat you.
You know, I had no breaks every round in the Evo class, so I can't help what happened.
I get it. Then, not to mention, you came back and lapped me, but, you know, I just wasn't feeling it after that. So that was my excuse.
Hey, I can't help it. Your bike broke.
Before I let you go, Garrett, I have to ask, how does Caleb Russell do this weekend at Unadilla?
I don't know. I asked people that same question when I found out. I like Caleb. I mean, I know him at all. I don't know, honestly.
I'm going 18.
He has all the right tools right in front of him, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but I would say he's around 20th place. I couldn't tell you, you know, those are pretty good numbers. He could surprise me and get a top 15, you know, because his endurance is going to be there, even though, you know, the moto and the people say, oh, he can ride for 3 hours. Yeah, but we just talked about it. The sprint pace that those guys are going to set out for is going to be unreal. He's not going to be able to match that.
Yeah, that's what me and my dad were talking about. You know, just the first couple laps, he's not used to bar banging with 30 other dudes, you know, at the beginning of the races.
Yeah. And it's going to be tough. I mean, he has the, you know, he's not scared to do it, but those dudes roll out. You know, I hope he gets some top 20s, gets a point or two, maybe he can get a national number. But, you know, I see him around 15th on a good day, average 20th. Mm-hmm. Anything below that's going to be a bad day.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Garrett, who do you want to thank for getting you out there?
I want to thank my mom and dad for being my number one fans always. My dad, a lot, for always helping me. FXR, Dunlop, DSIMX, Pro Circuit, Oakley. You know, just anybody else who's helped me and continues to help me that I forgot. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. You have a great day, and I'll look forward to training with you soon.
Yeah, man. Come on. Don't be scared.
I'm not. See it. I want to talk to you guys about oil, and not just any oil. I'm talking about Blood Lubricants. Blood is a manufacturer of advanced technology synthetic lubricants for the racing industry. Jeff Green has been producing high-quality synthetic lubricants since 1983 and is constantly pushing the bar for high-quality oil. Blood sponsors top privateers like Henry Miller and Tyler Bowers and offers sponsorship programs from the amateur level all the way to the pros. Racing is in their blood. Whether you're ripping up the motocross track, hitting the hills on a side-by-side, or cruising back roads on your street bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered with their 100% synthetic oil, specifically engineered for high-performance machines, and their superior anti-wear technology that optimizes wet clutch performance and keeps your engine clean and reduces varnish. Make sure to check out their website, bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D, lubricants.com, or buyblood.com, B-U-I-B-L-U-D.com. All products have a 100% guarantee, and be sure to use the promo code WHISKEY to receive the 25% off all products. Again, that's the promo code WHISKEY for 25% off all products. All right, back to the show. On the line with me right now from the Collective Experience is Dave Drakes. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good, good, man. Good to talk to you. Just excited to get away in the podcast, start talking some moto and about the program a little bit.
Yeah, it's always good to talk moto. I don't know if you're a football fan, but my Miami Dolphins are playing right now, and you know, I'm just ready for my dreams to be crushed this football season. So it's good to take my mind off it right now and talk some moto.
Oh, that's tough, man. I'm from New England originally, so I think I have to say Patriots. I know, everyone hates it. I got to do it for my New England peeps. But yeah, Dolphins. They definitely have a very, very loyal fan base. So that's about all I know about football, though, man. I'm strictly a moto dude.
nothing wrong with that. So yeah, jumping right into it. What is the Collective Experience? Why don't you tell us all about it?
Yeah, no worries. The Collective Experience is pretty much an all-access, very immersive VIP program for fans of the sport, motocross, supercross. What we do is we take fans behind the scenes with us, and we pretty much make them a member of the team. So they get an opportunity to get those guest passes and hang out with us in the rigs and really get close to the action, as close as you can possibly get. You know, a lot of times we see a lot of fans that really wish they could, you know, get behind the velvet rope and experience the races from a different perspective. And this is a program that is exactly geared towards that. And unlike most other programs, I mean, we really get you involved. So you're taking video of the riders and you're reviewing videos with some of our riders. You're working with the mechanic a little bit, learning about engine, suspension, bike prep, getting your hands dirty, doing a little bit of social media work with us, taking pictures. You're completely a part of the team, and it goes from pretty much sun up to sundown. You know, it's even after, while we're getting dinner with, you know, a bunch of the industry guys, and you're meeting gear guys, I mean, goggle sponsors, you name it. I mean, you're totally involved and you're totally part of the team for the time you sign up with us. And something we're very proud of, and one of the cool parts about it is a lot of the proceeds that we raise, over 70%, go straight towards the riders and their teams. So not only do you get an awesome experience unlike any other, but you're also helping to grow the sport and having a huge impact on a lot of these privateers and these teams' outcomes.
Man, that's awesome. I didn't, you know, I had heard a little bit about it, but I didn't know the, you know, 70% of the proceeds go to the back to the riders. That's awesome, because you and I both know these privateers need as much help as they can get, and it's definitely tough on those guys compared to the factory guys.
Exactly. I mean, they're extremely grateful for, I mean, you give them $5 and they're happy. Mm-hmm. So giving them 70% of what we raise out of each one, I mean, it really, really helps these guys, and it really keeps them invested. It really goes a long way. You can definitely see, you know, every time they get a fan, they're so into it. They're more excited than the fans are half the time. They're just super stoked. And they feel really supported when they have a lot of fans that sign up to actually say, hey, I want to give you some cash. I want to spend the day with you, learn from you, be interactive, and kind of help you get to that next level. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, definitely, man. Super cool. How did you come up with this idea to do this?
Just kind of mulling around for a bit. So I'm friends with AJ Catanzaro. I grew up racing with him since we were kids. And, you know, I was doing track walk with him, just, you know, showed up for a race and kind of wanted to hang out with him for a little bit. And, you know, just hearing his story about, you know, the struggles of a privateer, and, you know, we all kind of know about it, but until you kind of really get involved in their program and hang out with them, you know, pretty closely, it's tough to really understand. But between the gas for the travel and finding a way to get your bikes around and money for entry, it takes a toll on these guys. And you know, I'm always a guy looking for opportunities to help people out, and you know, just be super involved in the sport, you know, just being a big moto nerd. So I kind of just brainstorm about it and realize, hey, you know, just hanging around a lot of these pros and doing this cool track walk stuff and just being part of the program, it really, you know, I would pay big money for it. And, you know, a light bulb kind of went off and decided, hey, you know, if we could help riders out and fans at the same time, all while growing the sport and just having everyone get a little piece out of this, then, you know, I think it might be a viable option. And, you know, a year later of planning and this and that and talks and meetings, and the collective experience is born.
Yeah, that's super cool. So are you doing Supercross and Motocross, or is it strictly Supercross only?
We do Supercross and Motocross. For Motocross, we do a little bit of an abbreviated schedule. We don't do the entire series. There's some races that are a little bit more popular than others.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the most part, outdoors, you kind of get a pretty decent exposure to a lot of these things. So there's not much, you know, there's not too many curtains that go up. You can really experience quite a lot.
Yeah.
But for those diehard fans that are really looking to take it, you know, one step further and build these relationships and these connections, it's definitely the program for them for outdoors and for indoor Supercross. And we've had a lot of people that signed up with us that actually went on to be mechanics and gear people and representatives for different companies in moto because of, you know, the people they met while they signed up with us. So that's something we're very, very proud of.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's really cool. Especially for someone that, you know, wants to try and get in the industry. You know, just like with anything in life, it's about who you know, and making those connections will get you really far.
Exactly. I wish I had something like this when I was, you know, a little bit younger. I mean, I would have hopped all over it, but we're happy to still be able to give it to some other people.
So who are some of the riders the fans could sign up with, or who'd you have on for the Supercross season?
For Supercross, we had an awesome run. We had AJ Catanzaro, we had Adam and Tyler Antiknap, who are huge supporters of our program. Fans absolutely love hanging out with those guys. They're super awesome to work with, and they honestly, they have more fun than even I do. And I'm a moto nerd, and I love this stuff. And they totally do an awesome job. We also had Henry Miller, Micah Kaiden, Bubba Pauly, Devin Sorensen, Dave Pulley. And the list usually grows every weekend. So by the time we end in Vegas, I mean, we've got more riders than we know what to do with. We ended up getting Tyler Bowers for a bid, and Blake Wharton. There's a lot of guys that support us up. Yeah, Brandon Scharrer hopped on and did awesome. So it's we're always growing. We're always looking to help more and more riders and get more fans, you know, connected and just try to help as many people as we can.
Yeah, it's definitely awesome. And, it's, you know, I was going to ask, does it seem like you get a positive response? But it definitely seems that way.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, it kind of blew up a little bit quicker than I expected. And it got to the point where we were getting people from as far as like New Zealand and Australia and Canada flying directly in for this program. And it's sometimes it could be a little overwhelming. You know, through moto media, through doing podcasts just like this, or getting shout outs and Racer X and you know, Motocross Action. It's definitely a dream come true, and we're growing steadily every day, trying to get a little bit bigger, a little bit better, and try to just give as much value to the industry and the riders as possible.
So it's safe to say you'll be going strong for 2019 Supercross.
Yeah, it looks like that. So, you know, we want to make sure that we have an even better presence than we did last year and earlier this year. So, like I said, we're always looking to grow, always looking to improve, trying to implement new programs. Last year, we implemented the intern program where fans could actually take that interaction one step further and be able to put something on their resume saying that they actually worked for a pro team through this program. And it was a huge success. We're rolling out something kind of new for Straight Rhythm this year. AJ is competing in it, and we're going to support him quite a bit through that. So, we're always looking to do bigger and better things. Whatever gets the fans more involved, more immersed, and whatever gives the riders another platform, we're all for it.
Man, that's cool. That whole the intern thing, that sounds sweet. I'm gonna have to sign up for that in the next season.
Yeah, like I said, man, if this stuff was going on when I was younger, I would have hopped all over it like you wouldn't believe. But yeah, we had an overwhelming amount of entries, and we're only able to get just one intern per round. So it was a huge process of just kind of going through and seeing everyone's resumes and what they brought to the table and who would be a good fit for AJ and his entire crew. Then we also did it with Adam Antiknap, and he was able to pick a couple people. So it was definitely great to be able to do that and offer some people a front row seat to the industry and be able to put on the resume, hey, I actually worked for a pro team and I had this experience, got a chance to do this and make this connection. And it was something that we're really happy worked out, and I hope we could do it again and make it even better.
So where can fans go if they want to sign up for this?
You guys can check us out on the web at thecollectivexp.com or on Instagram at thecollectiveex. We're also on Facebook, The Collective Experience, and you can check out some of our writers' Instagrams, which they're always posting about us, as well as some of our sponsors, such as FXR, Rider Racing, Evans Coolant, and the list goes on and on.
And so I was cruising through your website earlier. Did I see you guys maybe don't do them anymore, but concerts and stuff too, or not really?
Oh, no, not too much. We're going into a little bit of film editing and filmmaking a little bit to try to get some fans who are into that industry a little bit more, again, behind the scenes, the same thing that we do for Moto, just trying to get them is immersed in the industry. Because like you said, it's a little bit about who you know and trying to get that experience that's really hard to get. So we're working on a deal where we can kind of pair up fans with people who are industry leaders in video editing and film, and possibly like concert filming and music video creation, stuff like that. So there's a lot of different venues that we're looking to get into, but for sure motorsport is and motocross more specifically is where our heart's at.
Yeah, that's, man, it's such a cool thing what you're doing. It's like, I'm gonna talk with the guy who owns privateer.mx, where they help out all the privateers, like where you can sign up.
Oh yeah, they're awesome people.
Yeah, it's you know, like little things like your company and him, like stuff that helps out the privateers, it goes such a long way, and I know they appreciate it, because that's pretty much who I've been getting on this show is all privateers, and they tell me just like little things here and there makes such a big difference for them.
It does, and people really don't realize. I mean, just the little, you know, hey, I saw your race last weekend, awesome job, or hey, can I get a picture with you, or hey, here's $20, or hey, come on the podcast. I mean, that stuff is so huge to these guys. You know, a lot of people think, you know, all pro riders or all, they don't really care about this or that, but I mean, the privateers are extremely grateful for everything, and people like, you know, Privateer Life MX, Garrett, he does an awesome job with giving a lot of riders cash, and we actually sponsored one of his giveaways for Southwick, my home race, so we were able to hook up a, you know, Brian Shaw with $100 and do the drawing live. So yeah, it's super cool to see people like, you know, Privateer Life pop up, but just anyone who's willing to help the sport and help these privateers, it's all for the better.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So I'm gonna switch it up a little bit here, Dave. How did you get into the moto industry, or how did you get your start with motocross?
Pretty much just like everyone else, you know, as a little kid, my dad got me a little Yamaha, and I just started riding local tracks, and then got, you know, obsessed with it. It became my entire life, just like, you know, every other moto kid. And, you know, started racing, going through the ranks on 80s, 125s, doing a little bit of Loretta's qualifiers, even though I sucked at it. Definitely wish I was a little more talented. But yeah, you know, we were able to, being in New England, we get a chance to, you know, race with people like AJ Cadd and Jimmy Dakotas, Mike Picone, and a lot of these fast kids, raced Barsha a few times and got completely smoked. So, yeah, just got into it that way and just fell in love with it. You know, once high school ended and college kind of picked up, you have to kind of take a little bit of a back seat, but I'm still, you know, to this day, I'm still ripping around, still trying to progress. So, you know, once you're involved in the sport, then it's hard to leave for sure.
Yeah. Oh, so you're riding right now. What kind of bike you got?
I'm on a YZ450 right now. So she's doing me good, but I have my eye on a Husky 350, man. They're looking really nice.
Yeah. I think that's my next bike. I race trails, so I have a 300, but.
Oh, nice.
I think the 350 would suit my style a little better. I used to ride a 450, and I was not going to brag. I was doing pretty good on it, but they've gotten like way faster in the past 5 years. I can't handle it in the woods anymore.
Yeah, it's the 450 in the woods. It's a little much. I mean, the power I think is that nice to have for, you know, just chugging along, and especially when you can keep it in low revs and have it be really, really tractable. But yeah, that extra weight thrown in, and it wears me out. I don't do much woods riding, but when I do, it just really wears me out. So I could definitely see how a 350 or even your 300, man, that thing must be awesome in the woods. So I definitely switch it up for that one.
Yeah, the 450 was good, but then like our races are 2 hours long, so by like the hour and a half mark, I was done. I couldn't hold on, so I was fast for a little bit, and then like the extra, not even the weight, it's just that extra power. It just wears you out.
Yeah, I'm preaching to the choir.
All right, well, Dave, I'm going to put you on the spot before I let you go. Give me your race winners this weekend at Unadilla.
Oh man, Dilla's a tough track. You know, it's really Euro style. It's super, super slippery. I want to say that Marv is going to have a good breakout ride, but the way that Tomac's been charging, I mean, it's hard to say that Tomac isn't going to win. I'm going to go with Tomac. He's a safe choice, but if anyone's going to creep up and take away something away from him, I think it's definitely going to be Musquin. I think Roczen's going to have a pretty good ride, but I think this weekend we're probably going to end up seeing either a Baggett or a Barcia sneak up and start to be a little bit of a thorn in the side for Roczen, I think. So I think this is a track that a lot of people kind of get their second wind at, and it's a little different, mixes things up a bit. So I think we're going to see at least the top four switch it up around a little bit.
Yeah, it's Barcia's home race too, and I remember, I think probably it was like 4 or 5 years ago now, at least, when he jumped up and rode the Honda like one race and battled Dungey the whole time. So Barcia's definitely good here, and I know Marvin is gonna be riding pissed off after getting left off the nation's team for France.
Yeah, I saw that and I couldn't believe it. You know, you think they'd want to take advantage of every opportunity that they're given, and to have a guy that, you know, that won a moto at that track this year, and have him not be on the team is a little crazy. You know, I'm a huge Ferrandis fan, so I definitely agree with them picking him. But I mean, you know, not picking Musquin was a definite miss. That's saying that France can't win because all of their riders are strong. They're obviously one of the strongest teams. They've been winning back to back for the last couple of years, but I think they could have definitely had a much better shot going in with Musquin. That guy knows these tracks and, you know, in and out. He knows, you know, how to ride against competition in the nation situation, being a world champion. I'm really, really shocked they didn't pick him, but you know, we'll see how it shakes up.
Yeah, and I think it was like somewhat because Fevre and Paulin have won the past 2 years for them. So I think that they're like, if it's not broke, don't fix it kind of thing. And then I've heard that like they're not too pumped on Marvin like coming over to not staying at the GPs, and I don't think they're like seeing eye to eye for the past couple of years, Marvin and like the French Motocross Federation or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's definitely a little weird. It's a sticky situation, you know. It's you know, I'm sure a lot of his sponsors, a lot of the fans want him to stay in Europe, but you know, we are the premier, you know, racing organization. You know, the AMA Pro Motocross and Supercross series is definitely where the eyes are around the world. You know, not trying to sound like, you know, a total elitist, like we're the best out there, because obviously, you know, those guys are just as fast as we are. But in terms of attention and opportunity, and a lot of where the funding goes is towards the American series. So, you know, you can't blame the guy, you know, and he actually made a great name for himself. So he's one of the fastest guys in the world. You know, you can't argue with that.
Yeah, he won his championships over there. Didn't go to the big bike class over there, but yeah, and like you said, I think they have a little edge on us, maybe on the motor, on the outdoor stuff, because we focus a lot more on Supercross over here. But yeah, I would like to think we're the premier one. That's the reason Roczen and Musquin and Reed and all those guys come over here.
Exactly.
All right, Dave, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for hanging out. And I look forward to, I'll be at some Supercrosses next year, so I'll have to come by and check out the whole thing.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. You know, love to show you around a little bit. And yeah, I mean, we love doing podcasts like this, man. So anytime you need somebody on, yeah, don't hesitate to give me a call.
Yeah, maybe we'll get you back on when Supercross comes back around.
Awesome, man. Looking forward to it.
All right, you have a great night.
All right, thank you. You too.
See you. All right, on the line with me right now from Blood Lubricants is Jeff Green. What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, Kurt. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Just enjoying a nice hot summer day here in South Florida.
I'm sure it's not quite as hot as a nice summer hot day in Arizona.
Yeah, I actually today I was looking at the weather tomorrow for a track. It's called Mesa, and I don't know why I typed in Mesa weather in Google, and it was Mesa, Arizona. I think it was like 106. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a cold front coming through. We've been up like at 113 or 115. I'm a southern boy. I grew up in Georgia, so I'm used to the hot weather, but it's even a bit toasty for me, so.
Yeah, it just sounds brutal. Definitely not fun to ride in either, you know. Well, hey, you're the first sponsor of Whiskey Throttle Radio. Thank you for supporting the show, man. It's awesome. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're excited. We're fairly new to the we're not new to synthetic lubricants, but we're new to the racing world on a broader scale. And as I've been learning more about the different avenues and places, I've been listening to a bunch of different podcasts and just getting educated on how people find out about things. And your show popped up, and I'm like, man, it's a pretty cool show. I should talk to them and see if they've would have an interest in me working with them. So,
yeah, I appreciate that, and thank you very much. Jumping right in, you said you're fairly new to the racing scene. Why don't you talk a little bit about how your company got its start?
Just a little bit of background, because I do run into this. I mean, why in the world does the racing world need another oil company? There's already several. And I'll just back up and say, my dad and I founded a company called American Synthol back in 1983, and we've basically started out in the industrial world making products for air compressors. I don't know if people, you need them to pump your tires up. There's huge ones for the industrial world. And we've ended up carving a niche. We sell product all over the world, very well known. And like I said, we've been doing it for a long time. We manufacture oil for about 70 other companies that then will sell it directly, as well as having our own product lines that we sell direct. So, on the industrial side, just to give a little bit of a flavor, you have to have a machine that operates around the clock 24/7 for not a couple of hours, but for months or even years at a time without going down. And so you have to be very good at what you do to make an oil that will hold up to that kind of severe duty test. And if you live in Florida, you'll know, it gets hot and humid, and those compressors are usually outside or in some places, just a really tough environment. And we've done that. And I grew up as a kid as a racer. Not much of racing. I rode a lot of bikes. We had Yamaha, Honda, Kawasaki's. My dad was a big bike rider, and we just absolutely loved it. I had a lot of my family members were racing. And, as you go older, I'm an old guy, just an old codger here. And, we've done a lot of really cool things on the industrial side, but I'm thinking, I build a lot of product. I have different of our clients that come and say, hey, my hobby is I drag race, or I do outlaw racing, or I do motocross racing, or whatever, if it's one of the regional groups, can you build me an oil? Or do you have a product? And, we didn't have a product. We would make something, send it to them. And after a while, I'm giving all this product away. I'm like, man, it's time to find out the way to make it into a business. And we've done all type of, testing over the years. And, we can get into it in a minute. But we've got a product that nobody else has out there. And we're slowly making believers of people that actually will take the time to try it. So, it's been a fun process. I love racing. I love to go on. I watch a race, and my hair on my arms and head stands up. It's like a really, it's just, I love it. From automotive to motorcycle to and everything in between.
Yeah, I'm the exact same way. I'm actually starting to get bummed out that there's only three nationals left, because I don't know what I'm going to do with my time after that. And then, it's true too, like all types. My dad's growing up drag racing. He's got a bunch of cars in the garage right now. And I love it all. If it's hermit crab racing at a bar, I'm all for it. Just got that racing blood in me.
Yep. No, it's a fun, it's a fun, very cool hobby. I mean, there's a little bit of danger to it, but you just learn so much, and the people that are involved, it's just a great group of folks that kind of hang together. And you end up being buddies with them. And, it's just like a brotherhood, or sisterhood. It's just a really cool, environment to be involved with. And, as I've aged, I'm able to give a little bit back to racing. We sponsor, I think we're up to 8 or 10 races, race series throughout the country we sponsor. And we're actually, and I think how you probably connected with us is that we actually are sponsoring one guy in particular, but we've got several others in the works on the outdoor season. And it's been an interesting process to get to that, but it's been really fun. And I'm hoping we're working on the Supercross season as well. So we've got a lot of cool things coming up.
Yeah, definitely. I saw Tyler Bowers is running your stuff. Got himself a nice top 10 at Washougal. You had been pumped about that.
Yeah, it was really cool. You know, Tyler is just a really great guy. I know him through Chaz Cadillac at Trigger Racing. He's the guy that I really do a lot of work with. And Tyler needed was wanting to get back and kind of kick the rust off from getting back into the racing with the big boys there. And it was a good opportunity. And it's kind of interesting. The first part of the race, he was up in Portland racing, blew his engine up somehow. Right, two laps left, he was leading, and there was some kind of Thursday night race that had, I think they had some big money there. And so he and Chaz talked to people. They found one of the Cowie teams or somebody lent him a bike to pull the engine out. They pulled the engine out, put it in his bike. Got everything ready, for Friday for the race Saturday, and then the bike actually had a competitor's oil in it for the first part of the race, and I think his first race he did, I think it came in 15th. Mm-hmm. Second race, the second moto came in there. I got Chaz to be able to pull him out and put our product in there. It's called Moto Blood, a 10W50. And I'm not saying that this is the whole reason, but he came in ninth on the second moto. And talked to Tyler about it, afterwards, and he had a lot of very positive things to say. He had a couple of questions, but overall he had never heard of us and was a little bit anxious, I think, to even try it, but Chaz talked him into it, and he was very happy. And that's what we need to do, is to be able to for people to try it, because I've actually got Chaz sent me the clutch plates out of it, and if you look at the first moto compared to the second moto, you'll say, man, what's the difference? And the difference is in the product that's out there. We make just a fantastic product. When I first met Chaz at Trigger Racing, talking to him about Henry, he was very, what's the right word, skeptical. He said, look, Henry burns up a clutch every practice, every moto. I'm having to change it three times on a weekend, and I can't keep it up. And we've tried everything. We don't know if anything is out there. And I said, well, at least try it. I said, just give it a try. I'm not going to sponsor you, don't anything. Try it. If you like it, call me back. If you don't like it, no harm. So he tried it. I get a call the next day. He said, what have you got in here? He said, we ran it through two motos in a full practice session and pulled it out, and the clutch plates look brand new. So that's what we do. We've got the technology and the knowledge on specific applications to able to, to bring something to the table. And that's why we think that there is the need for another oil company. We do things that other people don't do at the moment. Could they? I'm not sure, but they don't. So.
Yeah, well, you're getting top tens in the outdoors, so you're definitely doing something right,
Yeah, I mean, it's if you look at Henry, when we first connected up, Henry was, 17 to 20th place. That he was running out at, I met up with him at Thunder Valley, is that the name of it, in Colorado. That was his first race of the year. They were trying it, and if you look at it, but all the way up till he got hurt, Henry was hitting like a ninth and 12th for 10 or 11 placing. Part of it is racing. Part of it is, we upgraded when I was talking to Chaz, I'm like, they're running the standard engine. I said, what if we put a guider in that Yamaha and give it high compression? I'll build an oil for it, mm-hmm. and maybe that'll give you a little bit of more mojo, particularly, you're racing against some big-time guys. I can give you an oil that the factory teams don't have. And he said, sure, let's try it. So, I mean, I think you can see the results right there. I mean, Henry has gone, you know, dropped 8 or 10 places on average from where he was. And that's, you know, the oil is not the only reason, but it's a whole package. Yeah. You have to do a lot of different things in it. And that's, you know, a half a second or, you know, if, 1 or 2 seconds per lap adds up quite a bit.
Yeah, and even for him just to know that he's not going to burn up a clutch that moto, because since he's been running your stuff, it hasn't been happening, you know? It kind of puts that worry out of his mind when he's out there racing and really can just focus more on racing too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, my best advocate, you're exactly right. The best advertising I can do is to have people that actually use it, you know, go and talk about it. I had a kid, it's a young lady that was racing a quad. We make product for quads, for motorcycles, for Harleys, for road racers, all different type of products. But this was a quad race in Georgia. You know, it gets pretty hot and humid in, down there. And her father wrote me, and I showed it to my wife, and I was like, wow, this is totally crazy, because they were on a long, I think about a 6 mile loop that they were out there, and somewhere at the farthest point, she hit something and knocked either a plug out or a hole in her crankcase, and all the oil drained out. And she kept racing all the way back till she got to the pits and the race was over. And her father was like, went to check it out, and there was no oil in there except what he had run of ours. And he wrote me, he said, I can't believe it. She ran half this, you know, 3 or 4 mile lap under severe conditions, and I don't have to buy a new engine. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't recommend that for everybody, but there is some components that we have that will, you know, provide some, not only, you know, you hear this typical spiel from most of the synthetic lubricant guys. I mean, you get a little bit more horsepower, you get a little bit more torque out of your machine, you know, where we do that, but that's really not everybody that makes synthetic lubricants can do that, because it's just the nature of our base oils. But you know, what we can do is add some protection in there. Just like, I mean, when you run a clutch plate, particularly like Henry runs it, where he's like riding the clutch all the time, you get some really high temps in there, and you get some crazy type of situations. And it does, and having the right product in your bike can provide protection for that. I mean, the top guys, you know, the Marvin, Eli, Ken, Roxon, I mean, those guys, I assure you, have product built for them to get the most out of those bikes that they've got. And it helps when you have the right product in there to, you know, get the most for your money. And, you know, oil is relatively cheap compared to, you know, you spend $8-10 grand on a bike, $13 for a quart, it's a little, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
It's not a big investment to get a little bit more mojo out of it.
Yeah, it's especially, you know, when these people are paying $1,000 even just for exhaust systems, just to get that little bit. So $13 doesn't seem like too bad comparing it to that.
Yeah, you know, and it's unfortunately, a lot of people think oils are like snake oil or kind of crazy stuff, or, you know, synthetics. And yeah, I hear people say, you never run a synthetic because your clutch will slip and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, if that's the case, then whoever you're buying your synthetics from is not making it correctly, because I guarantee you, you will not have any issues on the clutch side. We just picked up a sponsorship from a young lady by the name of Jordan Jarvis. She was at
Loretta's.
What's that?
She killed it at Loretta's. I think she went 1-1-1 on all her motors.
She went 1-1-1 at Loretta's, and then the next day she went 1-1 at the WMX Pro Race. And she's running our oil. It's the first time they have run their product. They ran it for both races. Okay. And her dad wanted to find out about it. You know, a guy named Sean Morris contacted me, and a great guy is her agent. And we had a discussion about it. And I said, you know, he said he was a little bit skeptical. And I said, look, The best thing you can do is just try it. I'll give it to you. I'll send it to you down there. You guys try it. If you like it, talk to me. If you don't, I don't want to put a product out there that somebody's not absolutely 100% proud of.
Yeah.
So they put it in there, loved it, and no issues. And you can see the results. 1-1-1, 1-1. That's a pretty good weekend to have five firsts.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and her big competition in second blew her engine, and I'm not saying it's because of the oil. Most of the time it's something else, but you know, if you need something that can be reliable, that will protect your investment and your racing.
Yeah, 100%. And just so people know, you don't just do motocross oil too. I'm sure a lot of people out there that ride dirt bikes also have street bikes and whatnot. Seems like you have a whole range of products.
Yeah, we do. We make pretty much anything on two wheels. We make a product for that. We interestingly enough, I really started out, we were building racing oils, but I had some technology on the Harley side for the V-Twins. We came up with a really unique product for that. And so we do everything from Harleys to the V-Twins to road bikes, all the way from Ducati to Yamaha, Kawasaki to dirt bike and quads and side by sides. So pretty much anything on two wheels. We actually were a big sponsor. There's a lady by the name of Valerie Thompson that tried to set the world record on a motorcycle. She's done it. She's tried a couple of places, one out at the Salt Flats. Weather didn't cooperate. They went down to Australia. And she set the record, I think, for a woman, 328 or 30 miles an hour for a female on a bike, and then was going for the world record for that. So we do it all the way from the high-tech engines to all the way to, what most people do, just riding their bike, and they just want to make sure they got an oil that will protect it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool. I didn't know that. That's awesome about the speed record. That's pretty cool. It's something to hang your hat on there for sure.
Yeah. So we've got we do all type of things. I mean, one thing this nice that we can't do for everybody, but your audience for the most part are people that are racers or interested in racing. For example, for Henry's bike, we used our traditional racing oil, which is really fabulous stuff. That's the one that Chaz Cadillac Trigger just loved. And we switched to, when we upgraded to the Gator, to the high compression engine, he didn't want to change oils. And I'm like, well, just try this because, they run a little bit hotter. There's a slightly different mechanism. And so we actually built an oil strictly for that machine. And, we can, like I said, for the most part, we have product that is for most people that are out there to buy this easy. But for the race teams, we actually have the ability to come up with it. You got a unique situation. We come up with a unique answer and help solve it.
Oh, definitely.
So it's pretty cool. We're looking forward to expanding what we do, at the highest end of the race world on the professional side.
Yeah, would you say your goal is to get, a top, I guess it would be a top team deal? Would that be like the ultimate goal, like a Monster Energy Kawasaki deal for them to run your stuff?
That would, obviously that would be awesome to be able to do something like that. I've actually talked to a couple of race teams that would like it. It just depends on the money that's involved to do that. Some of it, some of it is just how good your oil is, and some of it, for certain type of people, the compensation can be quite extraordinary. And we're a new company. We can sponsor. I mean, we've got, I've probably got 150 racers sponsored right now.
Okay.
So we do quite a bit with that, but at the very high end, it would, it'll have to be selective. And for the most part, the factory teams, they want to use, they may use somebody else's oil, but they're going to tell you, if it's a Honda, it's going to be the Honda product. If it's a Yamaha, it's going to be the Yamaha product, or Suzuki, whatever. So that's a little bit challenging. So that's one reason we picked try to touch base on the privateer market, you know, and for people that are very talented in that market, and you know, build a product, and we have a product for that. So
yeah, definitely, it definitely makes sense. So where can people go to buy your product?
Yeah, we've sell everything through our website. We have a few smaller dealers, but most of it's through the website. You know, the long URL is www.bloodlubricants.com, B-L-U-D, and then lubricants.com. I created one that's a little bit easier called Buy Blood, B-U-Y-B-L-U-D.com. It's a little bit easier to remember.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's definitely cool to definitely do, you know, direct to consumer from your website. It makes it easier. One last thing before I let you go, Jeff. Who you got winning the Unadilla this weekend, 450 and 250?
Oh, man, you're making it tough on me. I would say I would love to see, on the 450 side, if you go against Eli, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. I think that race he did, last week when he came, it was unbelievable.
Unreal.
Just unbelievable watching that. So I love Cowies, and I like watching him. I'm kind of been enjoying watching Ken Roczen trying to make a comeback. So I would say either one of those would be kind of a fun victory from my side. Mm-hmm. The 250 world's that's just a different animal. I'll probably stick with Plessinger and just go with that.
Yeah, 250 is crazy. If you look at the results, you could pick eight guys that could win a moto.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, I've dealt more on the 450 side, and I know those engines are a little bit better than the 250. Mm-hmm. Although we're working on a couple of the 250 teams right now, but that's just an interesting interesting concept. You've got to have some big kahunas to get out there with 40 guys and go for that hole shot, man. It's crazy.
It's scary.
Fun to watch, though.
It scares me just watching that hole shot, you know.
Definitely.
All right, Jeff, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for coming on, and thank you so much for your support on the show. We'll definitely have some cool stuff to offer for all the listeners and stuff down the road, so thank you very much.
I appreciate it. We're very excited to work with you, and we love your topics and the audience that you're covering. So if anybody has any questions, they can either direct them to you or to me. On any type of oil question, give me a call. Those I can answer. If it's a question about anything else, I'd be a little bit skeptical.
I got you. All right. Thank you so much, Jeff. Have a good night.
All right, Kurt. See you. Bye-bye.
See you. Straight caught up in the game. My life won't be the same. Straight caught up in the game. My life won't be the same. Living the life, that's how I live. Try to get out, tell me how to survive without my crew. Armani's, Ferraris, casinos, hitting jackpots. Good luck, I think not, we own the car from block to block. City to city, all day, every day. It's like a celebration for the criminal nation. Himido, wife and kids, that's what I need. Wanna go out like a man, try to understand with our blood on my hands. Dear God, please save my soul. I put the rest on hold, not seven. I still got time to reach heaven. 8 million reasons to get out, choose one, there's only one. To put the 9 millimeter to your dome, then you're gone. Did I do right or wrong? Tell me. I might drop some tears from my eye, but you never see me cry. Champagne, spit rhymes like crazy insane. LA to Stocktown, different players caught up in the same game. Am I right or am I wrong?